No, none of us are going to pick Star Wars because we're not talking, because we are talking about not talking about Star Wars.
Good.
And welcome to I Thought They Smelled Bad on the Outside, a show that, well, this one time, we was in the middle of somewhere, and we knew we was lost. I mean, we're always lost, but we don't always know. We knew it when we saw the giant spiders, because we all saw them, not just the drummer this time. God rest him.
Were those the ones from Mars? Or were those other ones?
You know what? I did not think to ask the giant spider monsters while they were eating the drummer if they were from Mars.
Okay, so they were the other ones. Those Mars guys were really loud about it.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Guys, we walked by a TV store that had Wild Wild West on. That's all we did. It had the giant robot spider, and you guys freaked the hell out.
Then why is the drummer dead?
He's always dead. He's been dead for 20 years.
I thought there was a law saying that movie and Roland Emmerich were not allowed to exist anymore.
Yes, but it has nothing to do with that movie. That is because Superman Lives was almost made.
But wasn't
that movie?
Now, stay tuned for our next album, which we are not allowed to talk about for some reason. I don't know why.
We signed a non-disclosure agreement.
Because we put spoilers in it. And if we put out a spoiler to anything right now, we will be lynched.
My name is Scott.
I'm Jim.
And I'm confused, as always. I'm Jeff. Hi.
And tonight, you know what? We are exploring our options in terms of kickstarting that version of Running Man where everything is redubbed by Jennifer Lawrence.
I'm telling you, it's a great idea.
Then we will have to have a second Kickstarter for Arnold Schwarzenegger to redub everything in The Hunger Games. That might yes. cost more.
It really depends on how many lawsuits we get into in the process of all of this. If they just go class action, we're fine. We don't own anything anyway.
I just want Jennifer Lawrence to say one line. Just, where's Buzzsaw? He had to split. That's it. That's all I need to hear.
I want to hear, I will snap your neck like a chicken.
That'd be good, too.
But it has to be in as good an Austrian accent as she can manage.
Well, we'll team her up with Arnold's voice coach.
Yeah. If she does very well, then we might have, you know, a completely new genre of Jennifer Lawrence redubbing Arnold Schwarzenegger roles on our hands. Well, I would watch that version of Conan.
See, I feel like we need to keep it in the Bloodsport field, so like we need her to redub.
Oh Jesus!
Rollerball and
guys,
yeah, but
Death
guys. Hercules in New York, man.
Guys,
Hercules in New York.
Oh God!
Jennifer Lawrence redubs Kindergarten Cop. Think of the possibilities. Just let your mind wander.
So long as we don't get Twins again, because Twins was terrible the first time.
Or that one, I don't even remember the name of it, where Arnold is pregnant. That never needs to be seen again.
That was Junior.
All right.
I'm so sorry, audience.
Physics of that.
All right. So we have plans. Well, we will keep you appraised of them as we move forward into the new year. But first, the next thing on the list is Pick of the Week. Jim.
Fuck! I have no goddamn idea today. I was trying to think about this earlier. I already used Legacy of the Void. If I had picked up Turbo Kid, then I could have gone with that, but I opted not to, because I still have too many damn Kurosawa movies to watch. This is the problem. All I do is work and play Rock Band. So fuck it. I'm going with Rock Band. It's not new. It's been out for months. I still play the crap out of it, and I always will. The more I think about it, it may well be the greatest game ever made. Because there is nothing quite as fun as plunking away on plastic instruments and trying
either to seem cool or to take yourself seriously, only to remember, wait, the guy in the hockey mask with the blood-splattered counselor's outfit and the sewed-together pants that look oddly like my orange pants, that is supposed to be me, and that is awesome. Seriously, Rock Band is one of the greatest games ever made. I love it. That is my pick of the week. The entire damn series. Or possibly the fact that I have Solid Snake's, you know, prosthetic hand doing the horns. That's also a pretty good pick.
Party on.
I'm going to be nice. I'm going to throw it to Jeff.
I want to break your rule. I really want to break your rule considering I watched this morning, but I won't.
Because be I'm good.
Nice. Fine. I will pick a video game also, and I've been playing all week. Just Cause 3. This game has a lot of weird glitches, and they're hilarious when you run into them.
See, mine hasn't glitched.
I've had a few glitches. My personal favorite is one I ran into yesterday. I was chasing a cow. Let's just leave it at that. And the cow ran in front of a car. I'm like, oh, he's going to get hit by the car. No, the cow ended up on top of the car. He was on the hood, and he wouldn't come off.
And did you have to kiss the cow?
No matter what I did to the car. So
yeah, but the explanation for this is right there in the game's name. Why did something happen?
Just cause.
Yeah, but just cause.
I find them random crap everywhere. I found a rubber ducky that actually acted like a jet ski. I mean...
Did you use it like a jet ski?
Yes, I did. Of course I did.
Good.
As is the rule.
Yeah, well, exactly.
But some of the weird stuff. I mean, it's basically Just Cause 2, and now you get an infinite wingsuit, which I'm okay with.
Just in case you were concerned that cars were actually going to be useful in this game, infinite wingsuit.
No, have not been useful in any open world game since, you know, last generation's GTAs.
Yeah, really. I don't know. The last Grand Theft Auto, I used a few. But yeah, anyway.
Until you got helicopters.
Yeah.
Right. No, that was Just Cause. It's screwy. The story's stupid, but you don't care. It's fun. My favorite thing to do is use the grappling hook to take a giant spherical gas chamber. Why you make it in a sphere, I don't know. And then roll it through the base and watch it blow up stuff. I don't know why that is fun, but it is.
Because it's violence.
And explosions.
Yeah.
And explosions are fun.
Yes.
If Mythbusters is taught nothing else. Scott.
All right, so my pick of the week is going to a little YouTube video that a fellow named Kyle Kalgren put together. It is Star Wars minus Star Wars. He has kind of, in a condensed version of about 18 minutes or so, recreated every major shot from Star Wars out of shots that Star Wars was referencing or that reference Star Wars.
Intriguing.
Yeah, so it's A New Hope. So it's him doing A New Hope with bits of Silent Running and Kurosawa movies and also, you know, things that have riffed on it. Like, he does this great bit where he goes from the original Battlestar Galactica to the Battlestar reboot in about 10 seconds, just based on leaving Tatooine. There's
Spaceballs isn't in it. I'm going to be insulted.
He gave himself one Spaceballs.
Okay, that's good enough.
He also
was it Dark Helmet? Please tell me it was Dark Helmet.
Of course it was Dark Helmet.
Thank God.
He gave himself one Aragon because you had to. And then he also kind of had to cut back on people quoting the movie because apparently he claimed he could get the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you could get the whole movie in post quotes.
Yeah.
You go through Geek Cinema, I guarantee you will. Hell, sit down with Free Enterprise. You've got a third of the script.
Like, right. Free Enterprise, Kevin Smith, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and you're most of the way through the movie. So he did spread the references out a bit, I think. The most recent one he pulled was actually Jessica Jones for a Jedi mind trick. Which I'm like, yeah, on the nose, but, you know, it's Tenet being fun. Jessica Jones, proving that if you give Tennant a good writer's stuff, he's actually entertaining. Who knew?
I enjoyed Jessica Jones, but I think Daredevil was better. I know I'm the minority in that, but...
I still need to actually sit down and watch it.
Basically, the entire time I was like, kill the Doctor Who. Kill him. Or kill Kilgrave. Kill him. Kill him now. No, not later. Ow. Don't try to capture him. Kill him. Kill him. Damn movie, you're screaming, just kill the son of a bitch. And then, well, yeah. That's the entire plot of the thing. Them trying to kill Kilgrave.
Did you look up Purple Man at all?
Say again?
Have you looked up Purple Man outside of the show at all?
Vaguely. I know what it is and who he is, yeah.
He's died like four times.
I know, but that's...
Motherfucker does not stay dead.
Everyone's died at least four times.
Yeah, but even within standard comic book conventions, everybody just goes, he's got one superpower. He's got mind control. Let's just blow his head off. And then he comes back from the dead because apparently he's got two.
Yeah, he has two powers.
One is powers. Freakishly good mind control. The other is comes back from the dead.
He's got a really slow healing factor.
It's
not even quite that.
He does have a healing factor. It is relatively slow when you compare it to, say, Wolverine or Sabretooth, but it's actually better than theirs, given that you can technically kill either of those two.
He's like Mr. Immortal, but with another power.
And a better personality. And I know I'm saying this about Zebediah Kilgrave, but seriously.
Oh, one thing I'll say about both series... The best part of Daredevil was Kingpin. The best part of Jessica Jones, Purple Man, or Kilgrave. Because I don't think they ever actually refer to him as Purple Man.
They don't.
They don't.
Despite the fact that he wears a purple suit 90% of the time.
Well, that goes back to Tim Burton and Batman, man. You want to do a good hero piece, you make your villain the interesting part.
Yeah.
Because it's real easy to tell everybody about how amazing and awesome your hero is. It's not particularly entertaining. I'm looking at you, most Superman movies. Except for any of the ones with Terrence Stamp, because it's Terrence Stamp, and if I say that too loudly, he'll come find me.
He will find you. Yeah. He will kneel before Terrence Stamp.
Yep. How the fuck they missed a scene like that in episode one is beyond me. Let's cast Terrence Stamp as, you know, the leader of the known republic and have no scene where people are kneeling. You people have no understanding of fun.
Yes, the people who made episode one did not understand fun.
Yeah, that's evident by virtue of the fact they made that fucking atrocity.
All right.
Hey, for the past weekend, I knew I was going to see it on Monday. I marathoned all six movies. And while I will say, episode one was not good. I do remember thinking back and thinking, hey, you know what? When I left the theater on episode one, I thought, yeah, that wasn't that bad. I enjoyed that. And you look back, you're like, yeah, that really did suck. So right now I'm really high and giddy on the movie I just saw, which I can't mention, but I want to give myself like a week. So I'm like, calm down. Remember, you thought episode one was really good when you left theaters too.
Yep. You've got to digest.
And there we are. So our main topic for tonight is... The Lord of the Rings, kind of more specifically a book-to-movie comparison, because, you know, the bits, they hit the same bits, and they hit them well, so it's the choices in adaptation that I think are the interesting ones, but what are your high-level thoughts here?
The only glaring, I mean, staring me in the face change I remember is specifically the way Aragorn acts.
Yeah.
In the original book, he is, you know, saying, yes, I will be king. I'm going to be the king one day, but I'm not ready yet. I have to prepare myself. I have to become a leader of men. I'm not there yet. It had nothing to do with the ring. It had nothing to do with his belief in a flaw he had in his genetic line or some nonsense. But in the movies, it's not that he doesn't think he's going to be king. He doesn't want to be king. He don't think he'll ever be king. And he thinks it's best if he isn't king. It's like, look. My family got us into this whole damn mess. I don't need to be there. And eventually he figures, no, you really, really need to be there. And actually, I like the movie better for that.
Well, it gives him more of a development arc.
Well, yeah. I mean, no one has a character arc in the books.
No.
But I think...
Not a good arc. Yeah. It's not subtle.
Frodo has an arc. It's just a arc as in going down a mountain, sliding into the pit of hell.
Yeah. Gandalf gets a power upgrade part of their way through.
He levels up. Yes.
Yeah. Like
prestige class, man.
Right.
Admittedly, we are looking back on this stuff, you know, decades after it came to influence every bit of pop culture we've ever consumed.
Yes.
Give or take, yes.
But we were talking about Dungeons and Dragons, and I remember someone talking about Record of the Lodoss War, how it was, until Lord of the Rings came out, the definitive fantasy, you know, cinema that we had ever had. The best cinema we'd ever had before Lord of the Rings, of course. It's like, you do realize none of that. All fantasy. Every little bit of it started with this.
Yep.
J.R.R. Tolkien wrote the book on fantasy. Literally.
I encountered an interview once where somebody tried to say to... Oh my God, my brain just died on me. What the hell is her name? The woman who made Harry Potter.
Joe Rowling.
Thank you. Rowling. Yeah, tried to say to Rowling that she was more important than Tolkien.
And I'm like,
through the creation of Harry Potter. And she shot them down. And it's like, you know what?
Like, that's not even like humility or some sort of imposter syndrome. That's just like, no, really, no one's going to say Harry Potter is more important than the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, which contributed more to the English language.
Right.
Like, pretty sure orcs in the dictionary.
Yep.
Muggle isn't.
Yeah.
Not yet. Give them like another 10 years and then they'll be the ones making the dictionaries.
Yeah.
Well, think of it this way. The whole thing of J.K. Rowling is the wizarding world. Who invented wizards? Hello?
Yeah, in this form? Exactly. Again,
John Dee.
Basically, every pop culture we've consumed has in some way spawned from this.
Right.
And this pulled partially out of Shakespeare. So,
Well, I mean, wizard, and, you know, Shakespeare stole the whole wizard shtick from John Dee. He's a real guy.
Yeah.
It's tale-telling. It's legends. It's culture.
But yeah, I suppose you could say, okay, the actual word wizard was before J.R.R. Tolkien. But what you think of a wizard, what I think of a wizard, what everyone thinks is a wizard, we picture something along the lines of Gandalf because of him.
Yep. Hell, half the time they do pictures
magic user, amazing stuff.
Half the time they do pictures. The D&D damn wizard is based on this son of a bitch straight up.
Right.
But yeah, half the time wizards show up in anything, long white beard. Why?
Because he said Gandalf has a long white beard.
Yep.
But getting back to the change in Aragorn, I think the change in Aragorn is a sort of an aspect of a theme that Peter Jackson sort of imported entirely whole cloth to the text, whereas the books are about how humanity screwed it up the last time around, and now humanity is all we have to pull us out of it. And it's about people rising to the challenge by looking to the example of the rural English. And the movie kind of does that whole turn of the millennium, we must all stand together thing, let's have elves at Helm's Deep for some reason, and the hero can only be motivated to save the day if his girlfriend's life is on the line for some reason. I was not listening too closely to Agent Smith at that point in the Two Towers.
Do you need a better motivation? I mean, it's not like total destruction or anything should be enough to get you off your ass.
Like, the fate of the world at stake, on your feet, dude.
I don't know. When I saw that, I didn't really see him as, hey, you have to save your girlfriend. I saw it as even the guy who's kind of looked down at you from afar, King of the Elves, they looked down at you like, you're not anything special. You're not, you know, big shot. Calm down. You're only here because your mother brought you here and wanted to be safe, and we felt nice.
Also, I'm your uncle, but I'm not going to let that matter. Certainly not. The book's not going to mention it.
Right. But eventually he's going to come up and say, no, okay, here's what we're going to... And then he shows up at his, you know, at the camp with the sword and says, I need you right now to take this sword, lead these men, and go kick some ass. He's like, you've always kind of, if not hated me, just really disliked me. And now you're telling me to go be the king? Yeah, damn right I am. Go get some. And he's like, okay. I still don't like you. But you know what? You're the best shot I got at saving
everyone. You're the least shitty nephew I've had.
Right.
And I've had a lot. So that's the best you're getting for a compliment.
Hey, I always look at it as him saying, whether you're ready or not, whether you think this is going to work or not, it's this or die.
Well, and I mean, back to the Shakespeare thing, I think Tolkien's Aragorn is kind of just, he's Prince Hal.
Yeah.
Like, he has had his carefree days of ranging about and learning how to do boat stuff, if you read the appendix, which is maybe true. Maybe you read the appendix, I don't know. But now it is time for him to be Henry V and walk among the men and be the best damn king ever, we happy few, yada yada.
Right. And I never cared for that interpretation. He's like, I'm going to be the king, but first I have to work up the, you know, work up and build my skills and be ready to be the king. What? Just shut up. He sounds really full of himself in the books.
Yeah, but that's kind of pulling Arthurian.
Like, yeah.
Like, Hal's a very Arthurian figure.
Yeah. Like, that's the inspiration there, though. You go from nothing, you build up, you become the great king.
Like, Siegfried wanted to be the great king off the bat, and, you know, dragon slaying is not a means of government selection.
It, you know what? If dragons are big enough issue, then it might be, but it's still probably just going to devolve into tyranny.
I'm just saying, Bart of Lake Town, yeah, sure, he slew a dragon, but I'm not voting for him for mayor.
Hey, that's fair. Better than the last guy. As is all politics. Anywho.
That's why we have democracy.
Indeed. Another thing I have issue with the books being worse than the movies, and this is, like I said, these are one of the few issues I have, is I don't know how well-developed Gollum was in the books. It's been a while since I read him, but I always kind of remember him pictured in my mind as a monster, just something that the
Ring had
turned him into.
He's a twisted, horrid little beastie.
Yeah, like, but he's a little monster creature, and you had no sympathy for him. It's like, God, this thing's a horrible nightmare of a creation.
Well, I think, and I felt sorry
for him in the movies. He was a crack addict. So yeah. Peter Jackson
decided to steal the characterization of Elric for Gollum, and it totally works. It also means it's going to be really weird if we ever get a good Elric movie out. Why is there no good Elric movie, Jim? Why don't we have a good Elric movie?
Because it won't put butts in seats.
And I don't know. It's got a wizard with a sword.
Elric, I
don't know. A movie with a wizard with a sword made like $500 million this week.
That is true, but that wizard has a laser sword.
Which is much better than a regular sword.
Yeah. And despite the fact that he is a wizard, if you say wizard, again, you get either long beard or now you get kid with a lightning bolt on his head. So, the other kind of wizard.
And now we also have space wizards.
But beyond that, honestly, they'd probably just wind up dicing up tails for it. That's kind of the issue.
But now Gollum, I kind of felt sorry for him. All except at the very end. At the end of the Return of the King, when he falls into lava, I'm like, dumb son of a bitch, there's just no cure in you, is there? At least you got the ring.
That's it, though. It's addiction personified at that point.
But especially in Two Towers, you can see, it's like, man, maybe, just maybe he could break his addiction to this thing. Just maybe. Return of the Kings? Nope. Never mind.
And it's weird to portray the ring as an addictive thing when every other interpretation talks about it as being, you know, a weapon of mass destruction or being heavy industry. It's a weird metaphor to go for, and it's sort of like, are we trying to say something about atomic power here? Nah, Pete, I'm not going to give you that much credit.
There's a YouTube video that a guy did, a study of the ring from the books and from the books alone, and it said the ring has only three powers. One, it convinces people who pick it up, or even is in its presence, that they would be better with it. Everything they would do would be better if they had that ring. B, that would be even better if they put it on. Now, when they put it on, that makes him invisible to everyone except the people who are looking for him, the ring wraiths and Sauron. They can see him like a friggin', you know, flashlight in the dark. And the second power, it'd be even better if you put it on. Three, you're invisible. So no one can see you except for the guy I want to be back on. That's all it does for people. It has no powers for anyone there except for them believing that they'll be better with it and they'll be better with it on their finger.
It also extends their life and allows you mastery over the other rings of leadership.
No, it gives you no mastery over the rings of leadership.
No, it gives you mastery over the wills of the other people who bear those rings.
Yeah.
It's total dominance.
Except for Gandalf, who's wearing one the entire freaking time.
Yeah. And yeah, no, it does.
Never mentioned. Never makes sense.
But only Sauron gets that power. It only works for him.
That's because he knows how to use it. The other three people we see with the ring are a cowardly little hobbit, and a twisted monstrosity that used to be a cowardly little hobbit.
Right.
Yeah. Any of these three guys sitting there going, I'm going to take control over these people, would be completely uncharacteristic of them to even think of.
Despite the rhyme
actually telling you that's how it works.
Well, here's the thing. The ring will give you whatever you want, and all hobbits want is to be left alone. Like, that's why it makes them invisible. They want to be left alone. People who want something other than that will see what the ring does for them. Throw it at Boromir. What does he do? I don't know.
Dies.
Well, they said, I remember reading that in the same guy's soliloquy or whatever he said, the reason it affects men so much is they're mortal. They want to get as much done as they possibly can. Elves, it doesn't have as much effect on, and dwarves doesn't have as much effect on, but men are mortal, and they crave power more than anything because they only have so much time on this earth. Yeah. The reason it doesn't have any effect on hobbits is they are mortal, but they're pretty much happy with the way things are, and they don't crave power.
They crave cake and pipe weed. That's pretty much about it.
I mean, the overarching theme of Lord of the Rings, when you brush all the stuff away, is industrialization bad, farming good.
Simplicity is the preferred life.
Right.
But the other side, especially in the example you've just run, it also shows simplicity is unnatural to man.
True.
Like, man will not choose the simple life. He will not simply opt to even render himself invisible or immortal in a way that does no practical benefit. It is, I need that power. I need that gain.
Right. He's saying, yeah. Men all wish for power, glory, and fame, but you shouldn't.
You should wish for cake and pipe weed.
You should be happy with what you have, enjoy your life, and not screw up the environment.
Yeah, but that doesn't actually sound appealing to me.
True, but he's saying
I would rather fight giant tree monsters if that meant that I could siege their land and take it for my own.
Well, I think I think we can all appreciate the value of second breakfast. Like, you know, right. Just a stop at about like 10:30 for a muffin. That's like the best, right?
I barely have time for first breakfast.
But wouldn't you love to have that like 20 minutes to stop and have like a muffin?
I wouldn't mind it, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Hey, for what it's worth, I kind of do onesies, Tuesdays, and afternoon tea. I'm just saying. Although tea is usually replaced by a soda, but that's beside the point.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's totally fair.
Okay, I've done my two major complaints of the books, and that's pretty much my only major complaints as opposed to the movies. Anybody else?
If I want to pull out a big complaint in the books, I love Tolkien's writing style, but seriously, he didn't need to describe literally everything under the fucking sun.
I feel like he's creating an alien environment, so he can describe the forest for a little bit longer than anyone should, maybe.
But he seems to take it that extra full step.
I think it's the full stop, like, setting lengths where it's like, and then Legolas stopped to sing a song. And that song is the back, and then Aragorn stopped to explain the backstory of that song. And then I'm like, God damn it, this is why no one wants to read Fellowship.
This is what, we skipped this shit when we're playing D&D. Why is it here now?
Because we know better.
Yeah. The party beds down for the night. Do we converse? Do you want to converse or do you want to wake up in 8 hours?
you want to have the moment? You want to banter? Okay, you banter. Guess what? Your stew is shit.
Yeah. Your stew is terrible and you're attacked by orcs. There.
A friend of mine said Fellowship could be made a lot better if you put a little asterisk that when you came to a part that really didn't matter all that much in the grand scheme of things, and an asterisk said side quest.
Oh, God, yes. And
then you could, you know, when that side quest ends, another asterisk. Okay, I don't want to go on this side quest here. Skip page. There's where the main quest picks
up. Like, there
up.
Needs okay. to be, like, a font. There needs to be, like, some sort of font switch in the text.
My Little Rings as a Pick-A-Path adventure?
Yes.
I buy it and I'd read it. I miss those.
Fellowship is basically, here's the main story, and here's a whole bunch of other little side stories that mean nothing to the main story. You can read if you want to.
Yeah, it's almost like it was a really, it's almost like Tolkien refused to throw out that draft for the Hobbit sequel this book started as.
Yeah.
And that's definitely something that is problematic. Like, I remember being in a university class one day explaining to people how to kind of not read the Fellowship of the Ring.
Well, it's like there's stuff that matters, and then there is the full protracted explanation of Bilbo's 11-1st birthday party.
See, that's the bit I like. It's
I like his birthday party. There are little bits and pieces in there that I got lost in reading it as a child. Like, I thought I was turning pages backwards.
Oh, God, yeah.
The name escapes me, but what's the name of the Cerulean, the name of the book after Lord of the Rings?
Oh, the Silmarillion.
The Silmarillion, yeah. Whatever the hell.
Yeah.
The point is, Tolkien's family still owns all the movie rights to that book, and they said they will in no way, shape, or form ever let Peter Jackson make that movie. And then somebody asked, well, why not? And he says, because he didn't put enough detail and story arcs that we liked in the original Lord of the Rings. I'm like, guys, even the extended edition, it was like 3 hours long. If he made every little detail that was in Fellowship and Two Towers,
Fellowship like would have been four movies if he'd done every little bit in Bob.
Oh, and then some. I'm not sure four would have pulled it off.
We would have gotten Tom Bombadil, though.
I don't like Tom Bombadil. Everyone,
that's fine.
Like,
Tom Bombadil is a singing Santa Claus that is not necessary.
Exactly.
I'm sorry, I said it.
He, like, okay, there's something mythically resonant about Frodo having three chances to hand the ring to someone. But guess what? Tom Bombadil's the fourth.
Yeah.
He tries to give it to Gandalf. Gandalf says no. He tries to give it to Galadriel. Galadriel says, oh, fuck no. And
Jesus
then,
Christ, are you crazy?
And then Boromir says, I'll take it. And he says, no good, sir. I have to find a canoe. Tom Bombadil picks Bilbo's pocket, does fucking prestidigitation with it, and hands it back. And I don't need an origin story for everyone's swords for the hobbits. Yeah. I know I had a friend who argued that them getting the swords in a lich barrow and fighting some sort of undead monstrosity that Bombadil saves them from is much more interesting than Aragorn's got a bag full of knives. Here you go. It says a lot about Aragorn that he's got a bag full of knives.
Hey.
Says he's prepared.
He's ready for things. He knows he needs at least five knives to get through life.
So
any ranger
we're going
who isn't
on
prepared
a quest.
Isn't a very good ranger.
So we're going on a quest, you say. Guess what, guys?
I need 30 feet of rope. I need 10 torches. I need
100 pieces of chalk, because why not?
10 days worth of trail rations, because it's cheaper than buying 7.
Yes, that's true.
That's somewhere along the lines. Dude, Aragorn, you are really well prepared for this. I've been thinking about this for a long time.
I'm well prepared for everything.
I've lived in the woods for 90 years.
Trust me. From A to B.
Six knives is running a little short. We may need to pick up more later.
Rule of life number 612. If you have 6 knives, get 7.
Honestly, that's not actually a bad rule.
Yeah, no.
Maybe not on a personal level. Maybe you shouldn't be carrying around 7 knives at any given time. But having general access to, like, a knife block?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, right now I've got,
like,
8.
Number 10 is always carry a knife. Now, you don't have to have 7 on you at one time, but always carry a knife. When I flew to Toronto, I didn't have a knife, and I felt naked most of the time I was there.
You wouldn't have needed a knife in Canada.
Are you sure?
Bear attacks are fairly uncommon.
Hey, I needed to cut something one time I was there, and I reached for my knife, and it wasn't there. I was like, oh no.
Bum, bum, bum.
Where's my knife? It's back home on my dresser. Oh no.
They wouldn't have let you take the knife in anyway. Actually, they probably would have. They would have tried to stop you from taking the knife out. That's what happened to me.
Yeah, that's the weird part is, like, I got busted for one that I had on my keychain, and this was like an inch blade. And I literally had it because right next to it, because the back half of it was a bottle opener.
Yep. I'm like, oh, can't bring that on the plane. It's like I came here on a plane. It was in my pocket.
Well, they screwed up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's the answer they give. But that's because Pearson Security is crazy.
All right. But other things in the comparison, I think something I do enjoy about the movies is, A, Howard Shore is a national treasure, and his score is fantabulous. But the other thing I should mention is that they blew up the role for Samwise Gamgee, who is the right and proper hero of the saga.
Damn right. My greatest complaint is when the Return of the King swept the Oscars. They won every single award they were nominated for. No one had the balls to nominate. His name escapes me all of a sudden. Why does my brain not work? Samwise's actor.
Why is I use Sean Astin one Thank inspirational you. Speech per movie?
Sean Astin did not get nominated for Best Supporting Actor because if he didn't was nominated and he didn't win, nerds would storm the stage. It's like you have to nominate him. I understand there's like a friggin' 12 supporting actors in Lord of the Rings. I understand that, but you had to nominate him.
Well, I think they got turned off of it by because they tried to nominate Andy Serkis for Best Supporting in Two Towers.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of got slapped around by the Academy for their trouble. And they're like, you know what? We aren't even going to try for actor noms this time around.
But admittedly, nominating Andy Serkis for Best Supporting is unfair to every other actor.
Yeah.
Because there's like an 85% chance that actor wasn't there and it was actually Andy Serkis.
Right. So.
You know, someone asked me who Andy Serkis played in the new Star Wars movie, and I said, the guy that moves his hands like Andy Serkis.
Who does he play? He plays Gary Oldman.
What? Somehow.
But we were talking about the prequels earlier. The thing that I like about Lord of the Rings on a movie-making level that I point to is the original prequels were bad for one glaring reason. Too much CGI. Not enough real stuff. I understand you can't make everything you want out of real stuff. You have to CGI some stuff just because it either costs or just it's impractical to make in a real CGI effect.
More costly than any other form of filmmaking.
Right. But sometimes, you know, I want a giant building. You can't actually make a giant building. Sometimes you can, but usually not. You have to CGI it.
You can make a tiny building and swoop the lens.
Lord of the Rings used a lot of CGI, but 9 times out of 10, if they could use a real effect, they did.
And yeah, we will build a model. We will build 6 versions of this model.
I don't care how plastic it is. I don't care how rubber it is. Even that stuff looks better than the CGI.
Well, even when they've got the mass armies and it's like, we don't have access to enough people. Well, fuck it. Just digitally add some into the back where the audience isn't going to be looking.
Right.
That's fine.
Copy
That's perfectly reasonable. That's what CG should be for. Basically, well, digital touch-up, clean-up, little additives here and there.
Well, I always remember when they wanted people for Return of the King, they said, okay, we need riders of Rohan. Anyone living in New Zealand with a horse, if you want to be a rider of Rohan, come on down. We will pay you for your time, and you get to keep your costume. And people showed up in the droves with their horses and it's like, okay, you're out of Rohan here. Put on this helmet, put on this cloak, hold this fake sword, go sit on your horse and do nothing.
When Ian McKellen points his stick, you ride.
Right. That's all. Basically all you do. It's like,
that is slightly better than recruiting the motorcycle gang in Mad Max.
It's just true. And in Star Wars, how many people that said, okay, we're going to do a new Star Wars movie. Does anybody want to be a stormtrooper? How many thousands, if not millions, of hands shot up? It's like,
can I bang my head on a door too?
Please, I don't care what happens. If I show up for 1 second and you slice me in half, I'm happy.
If you get to keep the Stormtrooper uniform, yes.
Which, by the way, I'm going to spoil one little thing. Did you know that James Bond, Daniel Craig, is in the movie?
Yes, that story is wonderful. Yes, if it turns out to be fake, I will be so disappointed in the universe, because that's like that's a Yes Virginia moment.
Yes, J.J. Abrams said it was true, so I'm guessing unless he's just really screwing with us, that really happened. But anyway, hey, you don't have to have accomplished actors in all these roles. Stormtroopers all look the same. Writers of Rohan can stand there and hold up a stick. They don't have to be great actors to do that. And they're pretty much happy showing up and sitting in costume. You don't need CGI for that.
No.
Now, if you want to make copies of that guy so you can have, 100,000 Stormtroopers or 100,000 Riders of Rohan, sure, more power to you. But when you can use a real effect, please do so. It helps so much.
Yeah, but that is like a universal cinematic truth.
But a universal cinematic truth that people were forgetting in the 90s.
Well, they were forgetting CGI was all the rage. Oh my God, look at this cool thing that we can do with computers. Yeah, that's great. The lighting is terrible and it stands out like a sore thumb.
Well, I remember someone liking CGI to an electric guitar. Both great and revolutionary when they were introduced, but both severely overused when they came out. When CGI came out in essentially Jurassic Park, everybody splattered their entire movies with them. When electric guitar came out in the 80s, everybody had an electric guitar in their brand, whether you needed one or not.
Yeah, but now, it sounded awesome.
It did, but at some point, it's like, okay, enough with the friggin' electric guitar. There are other instruments in the universe. Okay, like enough with the CGI. You can actually make this pair. You don't have to actually do CGI a friggin' pair. Not that I'm bitter or anything.
Yeah, but there's less insurance issues with a CG bear.
Not bear, pear.
A fruit.
The pear.
There's still less insurance issues with a CG bear.
I understand making a CGI bear. You don't want an actual bear.
So no, you do.
CGI bear. Like Wolverine, there was a CGI bear. I'm okay with that because you don't want an actually angry grizzly bear. When you are floating a piece of fruit from one table end of the table to the other, there is no need to CGI it.
Just throw it.
Catch. Put it on a friggin' string. I don't care. But why?
Yeah, but then it's just like Plan 9.
That's fine. There's a certain charm to Plan 9 for your force powers.
Yeah. And there always will be.
Scott, any issues you have? We seem to have got far flung again.
We are far afield, but I think... I actually do want to mention that whoever did the Blu-ray version of this... could have, while we're on the subject of CG, could have done a better job of cleaning up the composite shots. Because there's moments where it's like, hey, we've added a model to this glorious bit of New Zealand. And oh my God, Camelot's only a model, kids.
Well, the thing about Lord of the Rings is, I remember some editor talking about it said, if you take any of the Lord of the Rings movie... and hit pause at any random point, you have a 50-50 shot of having something you could frame on a wall. There are certain scenes on that. The one I always remember is there. It's an aerial shot of flying into Rohan, a little island in the middle of the desert type shot. And it looks so damn good. Like, that is utterly brilliant right there. The way it's edited, the shot. The fact that they built at least most of that little city on this little hill in the middle of friggin' nowhere with a mountain in the background. It's like, nothing is wrong with that shot. Absolutely nothing. Well done, gentlemen.
Okay, something I will come back to is a lot of complainers will say that it is three movies of walking.
Yeah.
People
it's three
talk.
Books of walking.
Yeah.
There are no cars, and all the horses get eaten by orcs. It happens.
Yeah, and that's
could they
it.
Take eagles? Would that work out well? No.
They have motherfucking Nazgul and motherfucking dragons.
Yeah.
But
and elephants.
But what I'm saying is that I can appreciate walking. I can appreciate two people having a conversation while walking, and that being the dramatic exchange as they go forward on this grand old quest. I'm fine with walking.
It kind of says something about the laziness of our society if walking is a problem.
Like, if you really want a movie of walking, there's a movie called Jeremy, in which two guys named Jeremy walk through the desert. They don't talk much. That's a movie of walking. This is
Did
a movie...
they have a horse?
Huh?
They have a horse with no name?
No, they have no horse with no name. That would have been much more interesting. No, the movie's called Jerry. Sorry. But what I'm saying is that I can appreciate a scene of Frodo and Sam walking and talking about something, and then, I don't know, Legolas kills 1,000 orcs.
But then Gimli kills 1,001.
He won by 2 orcs. The books say so.
Fine. 2 orcs. 1,002.
And John Rhys Davies is just a treasure. I'm glad he got to play 3 people in these movies.
He was one of the finer reasons to stick around in Sliders.
That is true.
And then he left Sliders for an Indiana Jones movie that took 1 billion years to get made and was subpar.
Which he wasn't in.
Yeah. Fuck.
Hey, they're making another Indiana Jones. And yes, Harrison Ford's in it.
Of course he is. He remembered he has a career again.
Well, everyone else remembered too.
It's true.
Yeah. That and he's looking in the mirror and he's like, damn, I got old. I better make one more movie before it's all over.
Humans tend to do that. I've never been able to really criticize it as a work. Like, there's parts I don't like. Again, the Tom Bombadil bit, I love to rip on. I love it when other people get bent out of shape over it. Because it doesn't contribute.
It's a weird thing to pick out.
Well, the number of people that I was hanging out with in comic shops back when Fellowship came out, and they're like, I can't believe they left out Tom Bombadil. It's like, why do you care?
That's the first thing I would cut.
Well, it took me a while during these arguments. I'm like, who the fuck are you talking about? And then it's like, go back, read the book. All right.
That first half of Fellowship where, oh, God, why do I read the first half of Fellowship?
I encountered that weird guy in the woods, that part that just seemed to draw out and serve no function. So I kind of forgot about it in the grand scheme of the story. Yeah.
You know, those...
Actually, my brain did cue up one criticism I have, not directly related to it, but the use of the word epic.
Well, it is a long-ass poem.
Yeah, and Lord of the Rings is an epic. I will actually use the entirety of Lord of the Rings I'm willing to concede as an epic. But these came out, and then all of a sudden anything that was like longer than 2 hours was an epic. Fuck you.
Yeah, suddenly 2 hours became the new line. It's like, hey, if we cross that 2 hour mark, even if it's 2 hour and 15 minutes, you've made an epic movie.
It's like, no.
You just have bad editors.
Like, we went into the epic tirade already. It's in the AFI stuff in the back catalog if people want to hear it.
God.
But seriously, just because something is long doesn't make it epic. Epic refers to scope. That's why this was an epic.
Epic or good, I might add.
Yeah.
You ever seen The Lone Ranger, Disney's reboot a couple years ago?
Nope. Avoided it like a terminal disease.
I was like, why on earth would you spend $1 billion to make a Western?
I was really sad for Army Hammer because I was like, you have a cool name, sir, but you are in an awful, awful movie.
I watched that movie. I regret it first off. But that movie is almost, I think, 2.5 or a little short of 3 hours long. It is incredibly long. And it was a bad movie. But if you edited that down to 2 hours or maybe a little less, it wouldn't be that bad of a movie.
It would have been
a
tolerable film.
There are certain points in that movie that have no purpose whatsoever.
You mean
There was a long tirade of Johnny Depp talking to a horse that is not necessary. It's too long and it's stupid. Just because your movie is long and you call it an epic does not mean it's good. In fact, it might make it worse.
Yes.
Yes. This is why you employ editors.
Yeah. That's what editors are for. They're supposed to sit there, look at a movie, and be like, well, that doesn't really push the narrative.
Don't need it. Don't need it. Cut, cut, cut. No, no, no.
Like, hell, the Joan Rivers bit in Iron Man 3. There's a reason that's not in there.
Yeah.
There's a reason that's good.
There's a reason why even Chinese audiences were like, why is there this, like, pocket drama about the two doctors removing shrapnel from Tony Stark's heart at the end of the movie?
What does this contribute in any way? And it's like,
the movie's over. What are you doing to me?
Shane Black decided to film that. One of the editors wasn't paying enough attention to get rid of it. That's why.
And then there's, and actually that, speaking of editing, Return of the King, how it just kept not stopping.
Yeah. Yes, but it kept not stopping because they had more to tell. I don't mind if it keeps not stopping. Everything you show me is still good.
Well, that's it. Everything is interesting and everything gets sewn up with a little bow. But the way each one is edited, you kind of knew they kind of were like, okay, one of these is going to be our last shot. We don't know which yet.
So we need to tie this off.
So we need to make all of them look like the last bit of the movie. And so that each one feels like an epilogue unto itself when you, in the finished product. Like, there was no cut where it's just a scene. There's no cut where it's a montage of things that are happening. It's always like, here's the ending. Here's unending. Oh, the studio gave us one more. Okay, here's unending. Oh, the studio gave us one more. Here's unending.
Well, like I said before, there are like 12 supporting actors in this movie. There's a ton of supporting actors. And if you didn't tell everyone, okay, here's what happens to this guy, and 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 the hobbits, then they would be pissed off like, well, what happened to that guy?
He died.
He grew a tree in the middle of a city.
I mean, that was one complaint I heard people about The Hobbit. Is like, well, what happened to these guys? I'm like, well, if you want to read what happened to these guys, you can read at the end of The Hobbit. They will tell you. Except for that, in fact, Lord of the Rings and Fellowship, you see two of the people in The Hobbit and they're both dead.
Yeah.
One's in a casket, one's lying next to a casket with a book.
What happened to the hobbits? They sailed off to Avalon. Fuck off.
It's great there. They have cookies. Anyway.
King Arthur's hanging out there. He's not sure when he's going to get to leave, you know.
You know what? No one cares what happened to Pippin after all this. No one.
Nobody cared what happened to Pippin, period. We could have probably actually gotten away with just cutting Pippin.
Well, what was it? In the extended edition with that whole bit with the orb...
Oh yeah.
Oh no, that wasn't the original edition too, pardon me. I wanted to punch Pippin in that movie. He's like, no, put down the orb. We know the orb is bad. Orb bad. Orb black, bad. What are you doing? What the hell are you
Stop
doing?
Touching Stop touching things, Pippin.
Don't do
when they finally broke him free, I'm surprised just Gandalf didn't pick him up and just toss him out the damn window. It's like, well, guess what? You just became our distraction. They're going to be busy looking for you and not looking for Frodo. Run and hide, little buddy.
Well, all hobbits is look the same, right?
The point of what the orcs were doing at the start of Two Towers. They grabbed two hobbits. They won.
We did it. Wait.
Hey, they're looking for two hobbits. They're looking for a hobbit.
They Which got two. They're going to get a bonus for this.
Well, which one is it? I don't know. We'll take them both.
We'll take both.
We'll let them figure it out.
Whichever one they don't need, we get to eat.
Yay!
They all taste the same anyway. They're hobbits.
They're fed a rich like grain diet.
They taste
they come
like
pre-stuffed. I'm going to have me some deep-fried hobbit tonight.
See, I feel like orcs wouldn't take the time to cook food like that.
With a side of taters. Boil them, mash them, stick them in a stew.
Yeah, I seriously feel like an orc would just be like, is there a fire pit 10 feet from me? No? Okay, fuck it. I eat it raw.
Yes.
Is there a fire pit 10 feet from me? Yes. I might still eat it raw.
If I bring it to the fire pit, I'm going to have to share it with Steve.
Fucking Steve's hate that
guy. Steve's an ass. Screw it, I'm eating it here. I think we just created a new comedy. Joey the Orc and his friend Steve.
Just all we've really done was just recast The Office with orcs.
Yeah, like I think we could do a workplace comedy about being an orc horde. I don't know.
They did.
I don't know I don't know who would watch it, but I think we're on to something.
Hey, they did an Office parody of The Hobbit. If we just replace them with orcs, we're halfway home.
We put it up on YouTube. We spend $50 on shitty makeup. I guarantee we'll make money. All we have to do is have a consistent release schedule.
Even then, not that consistent after the 6th episode.
Yep. Just enough that, you know, there's a back catalog of people like, oh man, they haven't pumped this out in 6 weeks. I'm going to go watch the funny one.
Side question. Is that the plot of the new Warcraft movie? I'm just saying.
You know what? That'd be better than what they're actually probably going to do.
What they should do is Warcraft 3. Are we going to get that? No. Why is that? Because.
They're too busy making a movie that's going to bomb. Seriously.
It's not going to bomb, though. That's the problem. It's going to generate bank because every fucking WoW head out there is going to go see it.
Still, I was in the theater and they put that trailer on before the movie and everyone just kind of looked at it and went, huh?
That's because Star Wars audience is not necessarily the same as WoW players.
I guess.
It's assumed we're the same demographic. There was a time when we were. Those ships have, you know, sailed because WoW really sucks now.
Well, WoW, at this point, WoW is the game your dad plays.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of what you have to do. It's like, it is well past the point where this movie is relevant, and I'm sure someone with half a brain cell is trying to convince someone with no brain cells that you should make a Dota movie. I don't want that.
You just said, you have to cut this. You know that, right? You actually have to cut this from the episode, or this will wind up on the internet, which means it will be a real thing.
Yeah, but if I don't cut it, I don't have grounds to demand a yacht full of money.
You don't have grounds to demand a yacht full of money.
You already have grounds and you haven't done it. You came up with the whole plot for Gotham. I remember an episode we did years ago where you came up with the exact plot for the TV show Gotham. The exact plot!
Except better!
And then a year later, it came out and you were like, where's your money, Scott?
That's fair. My yacht full of money. I need that yacht full of money to redub Running Man by Jennifer Lawrence.
Exactly. It's the only way we'll be able to deal with the goddamn lawyer.
And suddenly it makes sense.
It all comes back together. Why did Orlando Bloom's career take off after this?
I'm pretty sure it did.
I mean,
he did for a time. He seems to have an inability to choose scripts around anything but let's cast him because he's pretty. Because he found his way into the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, which requires zero acting skill.
Orlando Bloom made a lot of movies after Lord of the Rings came out.
Nobody watched.
The problem is, outside of the Pirates movies, nobody saw them.
I still haven't seen Kingdom of Heaven. I keep meaning to.
I saw Kingdom of Heaven. It was actually a really good movie. I'm pretty much the only one who saw it. Except for the whole point is Orlando Bloom's character is supposed to be so noble and so righteous that he makes the dumbest decision anyone could ever make. That's the plot of the movie. I'm so noble, I will not do this terrible act that will save millions of lives. Because it's a terrible act.
That is kind of how sometimes they think it's supposed to work.
Well, the whole plot is the current ruler of Jerusalem is going to start a war. All his advisors know this, so they say, okay, you're the son of nobility. How about we kill him, and we set you up with his wife, making you the new king, and you won't lead us into war? And he says, no, I cannot be part of killing a king and marrying his wife.
Is the king Liam Neeson?
No, Liam Neeson is his father.
Okay, because I was like, okay, wait, if the king is Liam Neeson, I think I understand his issue.
No.
We need you to face off against Liam Neeson on his own outside of a Star Wars film. I'm going to die.
It's like, I can't. You think I can step to Liam Neeson?
Liam Neeson dies in that movie. He dies of some kind of illness. But
So they chose the lazy fake-out way to kill Liam Neeson.
That's pretty much the only thing that can stop Liam Neeson.
A lightsaber did a mighty good job.
Darth Maul and a really bad case of the flu. Anyway, really bad case of the flu in the Middle Ages, which is pretty much a death sentence.
Yeah. Actually, if that was in Jerusalem, he might not have had access to whiskey. That's probably the problem.
Details.
Details indeed. But Lord of the Rings.
Take whiskey away from an Irishman? That'll kill him dead.
Yeah. All right. But Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yeah. We are talking about that.
Okay. So I assume everyone's done the sit down and watch the 12-hour version.
No. Oh,
no, the extended edition version, yes.
I haven't brought myself to be able to watch Seven Samurai. I don't have 12 hours to burn.
I have a Christmas tradition, which I actually haven't started yet.
Christmas?
No. I watch, around Christmas, I watch the extended editions of Fellowship, Two Towers, and Return of the King. I don't do it in one sitting, because that's pretty much not possible.
I did it once. I was much younger, and even then, we had to stop for an hour after Two Towers. Like, we made pizza and took a walk. It was great.
Well, I remember they were doing a movie marathon near me. They did a few of them around the country where they showed all six Star Wars movies where you got $200, you got to watch all six Star Wars movies, and they provided lunch in the middle. I'm like, that's great and all, but do you realize that's
15 hours. How long
would it take to watch all six? And then at the very end, they showed the newest one. It's like, wouldn't your ass be fully asleep by then sitting in a movie theater that long?
Well, it wouldn't be a groove in the chair anymore. Your ass had become the chair.
And I'm not saying you physically asleep. I mean your ass. You can no longer feel it.
No, but that's what I mean. You don't have an ass groove in that seat. Your ass is now the seat. You're going to get up and leave the theater with an extra pair of legs.
Right. When you get up, you will have to crawl out of the theater to your car.
And admittedly, paying $200 to in any way watch the prequel trilogy is not something I'm going to accept.
Eh, well.
Yeah, that's sort of it. It's theoretically, I'm spending $100 to watch the prequels, and I'm like,
hey, they provided lunch too.
I'm not even buying the Blu-rays. Going to make up for that.
Lobster bisque. I don't know.
I can't stand lobster. No dice. That said, somebody tells me, "Hey, we're going to show basically the original cuts of 4, 5, 6 in theaters, and then 7, and you got to pay $200 for that." I'll try and find a way.
But no lunch, damn it. You're paying for your own popcorn and soda. But yes, Lord of the Rings. It is really damn good. And you know what? It came out, when's the last one came out in 2001, was it?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's been that long, and that movie has not aged a day. You're still 100% capable of picking it up, popping in your Blu-ray player or DVD player, whatever you choose, watching it right now, and it's still a great watch. That's how you know it's an immortal movie. You can still go back and watch all the Back to the Futures, all the Star Wars.
Oh, 2003. Don't age me faster than I already am.
Okay, I was off by 2 years, so sue me.
Makes a difference to me. I asked a girl out for that movie.
But yes, it has aged perfectly well. It's still a great watch. If you haven't seen it, where the hell have you been? Go watch it.
If you haven't seen it, then you probably shouldn't be listening to this show because presumably you're beneath our age bracket.
We do say terrible things.
Yeah.
Boogers.
I'm sorry. We were talking Star Wars earlier. You're supposed to say poo-doo.
No, boogers.
Jar Jar?
Okay, that's enough.
That's too much even for me, and I'm an adult.
Yeah. You just ruined it, Jeff. You just took it too far, man. Now it's not funny.
All right. Catch you next time.
Have a good night, everybody.
Good night.
Gosh, I thought they smelled bad on the outside.
I Thought They Smelled Bad on the Outside is released under Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike Non-Commercial 3.0 International License. Please visit sbopodcast.com for contact information, social media links, and past episodes.